KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Raquel Maria Dillon. Maybe you're watching the stock market this morning, wondering what will become of your 401k, or whether an economic slump might mean you could finally afford a starter home, or if you'll have to go looking for another job. Global financial markets have been wondering, too, taking a dip after bad news on bonds last week. President Trump's advisors went on TV over the weekend to say there's nothing to be worried about. So what would a recession mean for California's economy and our local industries? KQED's Rachel Miro tells us it wouldn't be good.
It sounds alarming because, let's face it,
recessions are bad.
Steve Levy directs the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy.
You increase the number of people who are unemployed, reduce the revenues to education and local government services.
Economists don't expect a recession or even a slowdown imminently, but even before financial markets panicked last week, there have been troubling trends.
Including presidential incompetence.
Largely related to the Trump administration's tariff war, largely directed at China.
We were so heavily dependent on the China volume coming out, as are our customers.
Gene Soroka, head of the Port of L.A., reminds us California is a major exporter of agriculture and tech. Agriculture has been hit hard already, and new tariffs expected September 1st are directed at consumer spending on tech. Think iPhones and such. Mark Doss is with Wells Fargo Private Bank in California and Nevada.
If we start to affect consumption, which is about 70% of our economy, then we do have a real risk of recession.
Already, Steve Levy says most people and companies are pulling back on spending. Silver linings include slightly lower real estate prices and traffic relief, but
that's a pretty self-centered, narcissistic way of looking at things.
For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro.
Today in Sacramento, state lawmakers plan to consider a bill that would triple the rebate for electric car buyers. KQED science reporter Lauren Summer says electric cars are key to reaching the state's climate change goals.
California wants 5 million electric cars on the road by 2030. That's 10 times the number out there today. So lawmakers are considering sweetening the deal. Today, drivers get $2,500 for buying an all-electric car. That could rev up to $7,500 under a proposed bill. That would be on top of the same amount in federal tax credits. But the federal incentive is winding down now for GM and Tesla's electric cars. State lawmakers are trying to make up for that. Cars, no surprise, are California's biggest source of carbon emissions. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Summer.
And now to health. The count is up to 65 cases of measles in California this year. There's been a lot of attention lately to improving the state's childhood vaccination rates. But it turns out the vast majority of people who've come down with measles here in California are adults. What's more, 51% of them were already vaccinated. KQED's health correspondent April Demboski explains why.
Back in the early 1970s, when the current measles vaccine was first developed, people used to get just one dose. But it only worked for 93% of people who got it. So in 1989, officials recommend people get two doses. And that worked for 97% of people. But it still left 3% susceptible to the disease.
We do believe that there are some people who get two doses of measles vaccine and were never immune.
Dr. James Watt is the head of communicable disease control at the California Department of Public Health.
For some reason, their body just didn't respond to the vaccine.
That's why you can have people who are fully vaccinated still get measles. And in California, we have a high vaccination rate. So because we have more vaccinated people, they make up a higher proportion of those who get sick.
So just an illustration of that is that some of the adult cases we have had have been in healthcare workers who tend to have a higher vaccination coverage than the general population.
The bottom line, Watt says, is that the measles vaccine is still one of the most effective vaccines we have. It's the reason measles was declared eradicated in the U.S. almost 20 years ago. Today, most measles cases we see here are imported from other countries. For the California Report, I'm April Demboski.
The recycling industry is in upheaval. As consumers, we were taught that what we recycle is diverted from landfills. But with recycling companies going under across the state, there's even a new word for pitching a piece of plastic packaging in the blue bin. wish cycling. Rachel Becker, a reporter for Cal Matters, has written about these trends in the recycling world and what California legislators want to do about them. Hello, Rachel.
Hi.
So I realize sometimes I've been very guilty of wish cycling, but can you explain what's changed about the market for post-consumer paper and plastic to make this a problem?
The international market for post-consumer paper and plastic has really been shaken up in recent years. In 2017, China announced its plans to tighten contamination standards and just straight up ban the imports of certain material, including mixed plastics and unsorted paper. Other countries have followed suit, and that means that where once there was a market for these materials, now the doors are shut. There's nowhere for it to go.
We're already feeling the effects of this right here in California. Can you tell me about the closure of Replanet a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, Replanet is a major collector of beverage bottles and cans, and it shut its 284 collection centers in California. And the reasons it cited were insufficient money from the state, higher operating costs, and not enough returns for post-consumer recyclables. They're just not making enough money from selling them.
Basically, just because there's a number stamped on the bottom of a piece of plastic doesn't mean that there's a market or a way to make enough money or profit off of repurposing it or melting it down and creating something new.
Exactly. And that's especially true for certain items. So some things that ended up in the recycling bin never belonged there in the first place. That includes diapers. I don't know why they end up in the blue bin, but apparently it's a pretty big nightmare when they do. Also, plastic bags and films can really tie up the equipment.
I understand there are some efforts to pass new laws that will provide incentives to manufacturers to use less plastic, sort of addressing this problem at the source. Really quickly, how would this legislation work?
There are three bills. Two of them are exactly the same. These would call on manufacturers to reduce waste from single-use packaging and certain single-use plastic items, think like a disposable fork. And it would also require manufacturers to make these things out of recyclable or compostable materials. The other bill is AB 792 by Assemblyman Phil Ting, and that one would call on manufacturers to increase the minimum recycled content in plastic beverage bottles over the next decade. And so the idea behind all of these bills is to create a market to buy back some of that recycling.
Rachel Becker, an environmental reporter for Cal Matters. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now to sports. Professional horse racing comes with risk. Dozens of horses have died in California this year. But what about the people who ride them? Jockeys get injured, too, and many suffer concussions. Now California could become one of the first states with a concussion protocol for jockeys. Capital Public Radio's Scott Rodd went to the track to learn more.
The bugle player riffs on the traditional first call at Golden Gate Fields in Berkeley. Frank Alvarado is getting ready in the jockey's lounge. His narrow frame is all sinew and muscle, not an ounce of fat to spare. He's made a living racing horses for decades. That means he's had his share of head injuries.
I don't remember anything. The only thing I remember when I wake up in the hospital, what am I doing here? And they say, oh, you fell. I say, oh, wow.
But unlike other professional sports, horse racing doesn't have a standard protocol for handling concussions. Now, the California Horse Racing Board wants to create one. It would require jockeys to get a doctor's clearance to race again after a fall. Jockeys, trainers, and horse owners have opposed this in the past, since it would pull riders off the track. But as the long-term consequences of concussions become clear, many are changing their minds. Outside on the track, handlers corral six horses at the starting line. They burst from the gate and fall into place around the first turn. Thoroughbreds like these weigh more than 1,000 pounds and gallop at more than 40 miles an hour. At those speeds, the slightest mistake can send a jockey headfirst into the track or other riders. Fans flocked to jockey Flavian Pratt after the race. He took home the purse at the Kentucky Derby in May. He supports the concussion protocol.
You know, everybody try to ride as much as you can, and especially if you have a good ride, you know, next. But I think we need people around us, you know, who can say, yes, he can, or no, he cannot.
I hear this from other riders. They know the risks, but they still try to race with concussion symptoms. Golden Gate Fields physician Dr. David Seftel says the pressure is partly economic.
If a jockey doesn't play, they don't get paid. The result is that there's an intense pressure for jockeys to get back to work, whether or not this is necessarily in their best medical interests.
He says requiring a doctor's authorization to get back on the track would allow jockeys to fully recover from a concussion and give them better odds at long-term brain health. For the California Report, I'm Scott Rodd in Berkeley.
Support for the California Report comes from Bridge Bank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life sciences communities. Bridge Bank, be bold, venture wisely. Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden by saving energy through simple acts like unplugging unused devices. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report for Monday, August 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Raquel Maria Dillon. Have a great day.